This is The Bible and Homosexuality. I'm your host, Elton Sherwin. In March of 2023, this review was posted on Apple Podcasts. Its title is, I Don't Know How to Say Thank You. I will have Speechalo read part of it.
I really don't know how to say this, but thank you. Your podcasts helped me stop my suicidal thoughts. You saved my life.
Wow, this review really touched me. Your podcast helped me stop my suicidal thoughts. You saved my life. Thank you for sharing. If you know young LGBTQ Christians, particularly those who have grown up in non-affirming or conservative congregations, please share this podcast with them. And if you are taking a rainbow child to a non-affirming church, I urge you to find a Christian environment that celebrates them. And if you are somewhere in the rainbow, remember that God created you exactly as you are, queer for a reason, because God wanted someone with exactly your talents, with exactly your eyes, and exactly your sense of humor. Queerness is not an accident. It's not a mistake. It's not a sin. It is one of God's most amazing creations, and it should be celebrated. Remember, the Bible tells us that God knit you together in your mother's womb exactly as you are. Episode 6. What did Jesus say about sexual and gender minorities? Episode 6. What did Jesus say about sexual and gender minorities? I'm Elton Sherwin, your host for this series. Thank you for joining us. Previously, we looked at the four clobber verses in the Old Testament. In episodes 1 through 3, we saw that both the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the story of the death of the Levite's concubine were about rape and sexual violence. Both these stories have been twisted to blame gay men who played no part in the rape and the murders described in these stories. Then, in episodes 4 and 5, we discussed the Levitical clobber verses. Leviticus has so many problems and contradictions. I described it as a house of cards with so many cards removed it cannot stand. I am appalled that pastors and theologians condemn gay men with these two verses while ignoring most of the rest of Leviticus. Ignoring Levitical rules that are inconvenient for the rich and the powerful. If Leviticus is causing you anxiety, I urge you to listen to episodes 4 and 5, and then make time to read the articles in the podcast notes for either episode 4 or 5. Today, we look at Jesus' own words on the topic of sexual and gender minorities. For me, this is one of the three most important of the affirming scriptures in the Bible. The other two affirming passages are from Isaiah and Luke, which we will cover in the next several episodes. When I first started to develop this series in the fall of 2019, I conceived of this series as an antidote to the clobber verses. I set out to show that the seven clobber verses did not mean what conservative pastors and theologians said they did, and the Bible does not preclude members of the LGBTQIA+ community from getting married or being ordained or having sex. I wanted to neutralize the two mantras of conservative churches, that the Bible condemns all homosexuality and that gay men and women are sinful unless celibate. I wanted to show that these oft-heard sayings were not biblically accurate. I wanted to counteract the toxic vitriol that was causing so much angst among LGBTQIA+ Christians, a toxic vitriol that had also caused millions of young people to leave the church. Young Christians leaving the church because they had friends or relatives in the LGBTQIA+ community, and because they instinctively knew that these toxic messages did not reflect the character of Jesus and his inclusive gospel message. I was aware of a half dozen affirming Bible verses, but I viewed them narrowly in the context of just refuting the clobber verses. However, in the past 2 years that I've spent studying these scriptures, I've come to see sexual and gender minorities in scripture in a different light. I've come to believe that sexual and gender minorities were specifically created and uniquely blessed by God. I've come to believe that same-sex attraction was created by God and uniquely blessed in Scripture. Over the next several episodes, I will share with you what was a revelation to me, starting today with Jesus' own words. See if you can recognize the beginning of this passage.
Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given.
In the entire Bible, Jesus introduces only one passage this way.
Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given.
This is the only scripture where Jesus says anything like this. Jesus then closes the passage with,
"Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it."
Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it. Wow! What scripture was so important that Jesus frames it this way?
Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it.
Did you recognize this passage? Here it is from Matthew chapter 19, verses 11 and 12.
Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth. And there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it.
What does this mean? And why is it so important that Jesus chose to emphasize it in this unique way? Next episode, we will discuss a more traditional, narrower view of this scripture, which is still surprisingly and strikingly affirming. But today we will review what I have come to believe is a more comprehensive and complete meaning of this verse. My favorite Bible commentator, Janet Edmonds, explains these profound verses.
When the New Testament was written, the term eunuch meant a man who, for a number of possible reasons, was incapable of, or disinterested in, having sexual relations with a woman.
When the New Testament was written, the term eunuch meant a man who, for any number of possible reasons, was incapable of or disinterested in having sexual relations with a woman. Wow, can this be true? Edmonds continues.
In Matthew 19, verses 11 and 12, Jesus described three types of eunuchs. Those who have been eunuchs from birth, those who have been made eunuchs by others, and those who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven.
Edmonds elaborates in more detail.
The last category, those who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, to which Jesus may have been referring, would include men, such as Roman Catholic priests, who take a vow of celibacy in order to serve God. The second category, those who have been made eunuchs by others, would include those who are incapable of fathering children due to castration or injury.
And the first category?
Those who are born eunuchs would have been understood in Jesus' day as including men with stereotypically effeminate characteristics and behavior. Jesus thus acknowledges that some people are sexual minorities from birth.
Wow. The second half of her statement.
Jesus thus acknowledges that some people are sexual minorities from birth.
The second half of her statement is clearly true. Jesus says it directly.
For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth.
Eunuchs are clearly a sexual minority, but who exactly are the eunuchs that Jesus is talking about? Is Edmonds correct when she said,
when the New Testament was written, the term eunuch meant a man who, for a number of possible reasons, was incapable of, or disinterested in, having sexual relations with a woman. Those who are born eunuchs would have been understood in Jesus' day as including men with stereotypically effeminate characteristics and behavior.
I found this mind-warping the first time I read it. I have spent considerable time researching this, and I discovered that eunuch had a much broader meaning in biblical times. In antiquity, the word eunuch often included men who were castrated, the modern meaning, but it also included court officials, court officers, or court attendants, men with effeminate mannerisms or appearance, men with no desire for women, men born with incomplete or missing genitalia, celibates by choice, and perhaps men who were infertile or had spouses who could not conceive. I have included links to the articles in the notes from my research about eunuchs in antiquity. I found these articles eye-opening. Neither ancient Hebrew nor ancient Greek had a synonym for homosexual. They had a single term that more accurately should be translated as sexually different, but is commonly mistranslated as eunuch. Therefore, I believe that a more accurate translation of Matthew 19:11-12 is,
not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are those who have been sexually different from birth. And there are those who have been made sexually different by others. And there are those who have chosen to be sexually different for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it.
The original King James translation, and many other Bibles, translate part of this verse as,
for there are some eunuchs, which were so born from their mother's womb.
For those who are partial to these more traditional translations, I believe a more accurate translation would be,
for there are those who were born sexually different from their mother's womb.
Jesus understood, and clearly states, that God deliberately creates some people as sexually different. Jesus understood that God created some people to desire individuals of the same sex. Until very recently, most Americans believed that same-sex attraction was a defect or a moral failing, the result of bad parenting or a poor character. Pope Francis was mirroring Jesus in Matthew 19 when he told a gay man, God made you that way and loves you as you are. even if you disagree with my translation, and even if you disagree with Edmund's analysis, Jesus clearly says that there are at least three different types of sexual minorities. And some sexual minorities were created that way in their mother's womb by God from birth. A message for the LGBTQIA+ community hidden in Scripture for 2,000 years.
Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it.
This week, we have a homework assignment for you. Who do you think Jesus is talking about in each of the three types of sexual minorities in Matthew 19, verses 11 and 12?
1. Those who have been so from birth. 2. Those who have been made so by others. And 3. Those who have made themselves so for the sake of the kingdom of heaven.
Once again.
1. From birth. 2. By others. And 3. For the kingdom of heaven.
Use whatever translation you are most comfortable with. Eunuch or sexually different. Mother's womb or birth. And then match each of the three sexual minorities Jesus calls out in Matthew 19 with one or more of the letters in the rainbow of sexual and gender minorities, LGBTQIA+. You can use the internet if you need help with the meaning of some letters. You are answering the question, who is Jesus talking about in each of these three groups? Some of Jesus' categories may map to multiple letters, and some letters may be used more than once. Let's start on the first category together so you can get the hang of it. Let's try.
Those who have been so from birth.
Some think Jesus is referring to eyes, intersexual, a person born with a combination of male and female biological traits. Some people think Jesus was referring to G's, gay men. You might think Jesus is referring to only one of those, or both of them, or more than just two letters, or something altogether different. You get the idea. Do this for all three categories Jesus mentions.
From birth, by others, and for the kingdom of heaven.
I will include this homework assignment in the notes along with some helpful links. We will review your answers next time. If you have friends or relatives who angst over the clobber verses, or if you know young people who have left the church, please send them a link to this series. A lot more coming up. Until next time, this is Elton Sherwin.